This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
On an early summer morning, the most direct route from Concord to Sutton, New Hampshire is on a road locals call 89. Mostly because its official name is a bit of a mouthful, Dwight D. Eisenhower National System of Interstate and Defense Highways, Route 89. And there's a relationship between the interstate and our quarry today, the turkey vulture. No, I'm Sam Evans Brown, and this is Something Wild.
This is a seabird, okay? It's a seabird that has never been documented in New Hampshire.
Hey, hi, Sam.
Oh. Hi.
What are you doing?
Oh, hey, guys. I got here early, just thought I'd get things started.
Oh, jeez. Are you doing Thoughtful Sam again?
Thoughtful Sam? Is that a thing?
He totally was.
And this is how we do things here. I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon.
And I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society, and this is Something Wild.
Nice.
We're joined this week, as you may have noticed, by Sam Evans Brown, host of NHPR's Outside In.
Present.
Who also joined us on a recent outing in Sutton, where we were tracking some turkey vulture chicks.
That was a blast.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk up this valley.
And we're here because Dave discovered some vultures living in the rocks on a cliff near his house.
And so then I learned that turkey vultures actually are obligate to this kind of structure. So,
or big hollow logs is another place they might nest. So they're looking for shelter from the weather. And the fact is that turkey vultures don't build their own nest. They just create a depression someplace.
That's great.
But it's got to have overhead shelter.
These birds live in a stone fortress of granite.
Yeah, except if it's on the ground, I mean, you're going to have foxes and fisher in there poking around, eating their eggs. I mean, there's some risks.
As Dave later pointed out, they have other defenses.
If they feel trapped, they will regurgitate on you. And since they eat putrid carrion, once that's been partially digested, I don't imagine it gets like more palatable.
Well, they bring food back for their chicks, but they don't carry it back in their tiny little pathetic feet that they have.
Right.
They bring it back in their throat, in their crop, and then they regurgitate to feed the baby. So like, basically, they're just offering you some food.
Right. Well, I didn't
Did you think of it that way?
Yeah, I guess it was like a hospitable gesture. Like they were
will you stay for lunch?
When they were welcoming me to their nest site and regurgitating as an offering of peace. I guess I hadn't thought of it that way.
But for this and other reasons, folks get a little squirmy around vultures.
Well, and one of those other reasons is because of their association with death, right?
Yeah, they spend a lot of time around dead things. That makes people nervous.
But it's worth remembering, they play a really important ecological role. They break down protein to aid in decomposition.
Sure, we'd have rotting meat everywhere if it wasn't for that cleanup crew.
They're sort of like the morticians of the forest.
And there are so many other interesting things about them.
I think the way they fly around, I mean, they spend hours gliding from here to Warner and back again without ever flapping their wings once. But the other cool thing about them, which I really admire, is they get to sleep late. They use the thermals that develop every day to get their lift and start to go around looking for today's meal. And at 7 in the morning in the fog, that's not happening. So they literally hang around where they overnight, let their feathers dry, spread their wings out, do a little preening, let the rush hour pass.
So why are they bald?
Well, they're one of the few birds that doesn't have feathers on their head and upper neck. And scientists think it's because they're going like into the cavities of the dead items and getting the really good parts, like the internal organs.
Head first.
Basically diving head first inside the carcass to get all the good stuff. And if you had a feathered head, you'd have this constant problem of keeping your feathers clean. It would be a mess. And you think about it, birds preen using their beak. That's how they clean their feathers. How are you going to clean your head if you're a bird?
How indeed. It's taken thousands of generations for a bird to adapt so well to the consumption of carrion. And here on 89 and other highways around the country, the table is set.
He's doing it again. Hey, Sam, thanks so much for joining us on our little excursion to Sutton.
Thanks for bringing me along.
You can hear more of Sam by subscribing to NHPR's Outside In podcast.
And while you're at it, subscribe to Something Wild so you never miss an episode. I'm Dave Anderson.
And I'm Chris Martin. Our producer is Andrew Perella.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR.
The creative process isn't always easy, but getting distracted can be.
It feels like you're writing, but it's the equivalent of empty calories.
If you're looking, I have to write 500 words a day, it's not on Twitter. The 10-Minute Writer's Workshop, your source for the productive habits we can all benefit from, along with the guilty pleasures we can all relate to. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.